Welcome to the Golf Legends Podcast, where we cover the champions and major winners of golf. Your hosts and main contributors are Dustin and Chad. Thanks for joining us today for...
How we doing, everybody? Chad and Dustin are back here.
We are. Season 2. Golf Legends Podcast. That's right. We're starting our championship coverage here with we're going to be covering or talking a little bit about the Masters. So we're going to cover today the Masters. We're going to cover the PGA Championships, the U.S. Open, and the Open. Just kind of giving a little bit more history and how they were formed and why they're a major and how much they can win from it and why players care so much about it. And so, like I said, we're kind of starting off with the Masters.
Some fun info.
Absolutely.
So the Masters tournament actually was started by Bobby Jones.
Bobby Jones.
Everybody knows Bobby Jones.
He's going to be a monster when we cover him.
Yeah, we haven't covered him yet, but that'll probably be a two episode topic.
Yeah.
So what happened was at age 28, which is really early, Bobby Jones retired from competitive golf. And
that sounds insane.
Yeah, he formed a consortium with a Wall Street financier named Clifford Roberts. They bought a 365-acre commercial nursery in Augusta, Georgia. For $70,000, which is obviously that was quite a bit of money back then.
Yeah, man, I can't. I mean,
this was in 1930.
30?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. Okay.
Their goal was to create an exclusive golf club. No swimming pool, no tennis courts. It was just going to be focused around golf. And they brought in a really famous course designer, English course designer named Alistair McKenzie. And the club opened 3 years later in 1933 with a big kind of tournament commemorating the occasion.
Yeah, you had an opening tournament. Hey, we're gonna bring in players that you want to see, and here you go.
Yeah, and it actually was titled the Masters in 1933, and that's that, you know. Hit the everything's history since then.
So they, yeah. So with this, he was actually a doctor, Dr. Alistair McKenzie. He's working with Jones and designing this golf course. And it's kind of funny because they bought this nursery. I mean, couldn't be more of a perfect place for growing grass.
Yeah, and obviously
growing
the plants. Soil was good. I mean, there was some planning ahead. Bobby Jones is a really smart guy. He was well educated, a businessman.
Yeah. And I think you said they started in 1933, right? And they called, weirdly enough, or they called it the Augusta National Invitational Tournament until 1939. It was played by 60 professional and 12 amateur golfers. Horton Smith won with a score of 284. And the tournament was notable for being the focus of the first national radio broadcast of a golf event. So that was in 1934. So that was 1 year after its true, true start, right? So yeah. That's a huge deal. I mean, you're talking about probably all that was on. I mean, football wasn't a thing really then. Baseball definitely was, and that was on radio. But you're getting a golf tournament broadcast nationally. Yeah. Like that's
pretty impressive.
That's
but
huge.
It is on the East Coast. So this was kind of and still is kind of the most elite golf tournament in the world. Another groundbreaking thing that the Masters did first was they played 72 holes over 4 days.
Which is now the norm, just so we know.
Yeah.
That's 18 a day.
Yeah. But in the past, they'd played like 36 in 2 days.
Wow.
And that was how the tournaments were
I mean,
done.
You had to be exhausted, right? I mean, if anybody out there, and we hope that you all play golf or at least enjoy listening to us, if you play 36 in a day, you got it. You're dealing with everything, and they're walking. I mean, they got a caddy, but they're not driving on the thing. I mean, this isn't an 18. We're gonna walk. 18. We're gonna drive.
They would start like at sun up.
Wow.
Play 18. They'd take a break, have lunch, and then they'd start the second round in the second half of the day. You know, like a lot of us have played 36 holes in a day, and whether you have a cart for one round or the other, it's still exhausting.
It is absolutely exhausting.
So one idea that Jones came up with was he wanted to do 72 holes over 4 days. And the reason for that is he wanted to integrate more fun events into the whole 4 days. Skills contests.
He was and that's why you see, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but you see the par three challenge. You see a bunch of other little things. The par three contest. There's a championship champions dinner, which you want to be a part of, basically. So for this, we've kind of gotten, and we're going to kind of jump back and forth, and we're not going to really go super chronologically, but we're gonna kind of talk about how some of the traditions, the interesting things about the Masters is these traditions, right? These, the green jacket, the par three tournament, the things like that. Obviously, when you win the Masters, that's a huge accomplishment because of not only the prestige that comes along, but also the purse and the money that comes with it too. But some of the fun statistics about this is the first green jacket was awarded to Sam Snead in 1949.
Not to be confused with the gold jacket that was given out at the 96 Tour Championship in Happy Gilmore.
You're welcome. Shooter. All right, baby. He's there. But it's also had some amazing little things about this. The most victories is Jack Nicholson, who won 6 times. In 3 decades. So you got 64, 65, 66. He went back-to-back-to-back. 72, 75, and then didn't have a single one until 11 years later. Kind of like Tiger Woods a little bit in 1986.
Speaking of Woods, he has 5.
Right behind Jack.
Palmer has 4. And then there's a handful of people with 3 titles at Augusta.
Yeah, I think... And when you win the Masters, I hate to say it's a little bit above the PGA Championship or the U.S. Open, but I mean, it seems like you're in legend/history's company there.
Yeah,
the
buzz around, everybody knows if you've there, even though they're all 4 majors.
Yeah,
the Masters is kind of on a level.
And it might be because it's the start, right? It's always the start of spring,
it's the buzz around the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, even the players, I think if they could win one championship, it'd probably be the
Masters. I would say or the Open probably yeah. Because where it started, if you were really going there.
Yeah.
The oldest winner is Jack Nicholson at 46 years, 2 months, 23 days, and that was on his last victory in 86. And the youngest is Tiger Woods at 21 years, 3 months, and 14 days in 1997. Like, Tiger Woods won the major tournament at 21 years old. I mean, he had already won at that point. I think it was 3 back-to-back-to-back U.S. Open amateurs is what he won. But that's crazy. I mean, he knew how to play tournaments, and that's fine. But, like, to go to the Masters and win this, and obviously if you he had played the Masters as an amateur as well, but man.
Yeah, Tiger in those baggy polo shirts.
Oh, it was so good. Or the big pants he had
like
on.
Just like a little kid.
It was so good.
So kind of a fun thing here, going back to 1935, Sarazen hit a double eagle.
We talked about this, I think.
Yeah. And he hit it, and it actually put him in the tie for the lead. This was a par 5 15th hole, so he holed it on his second shot.
Second shot hole, yeah. And I think that's the one that Jones, I mean, obviously Jones was there, it was in 1935, but Jones came out and witnessed the ball going into the hole, because Sarazen couldn't see it from where he was.
Yeah.
He had heard the roar of the crowd and all that, but I mean, that's known as a shot heard around the world, and if you want to know more about that, we talked about that in the Gene Sarazen podcast that we did, or the episode we did, I think it was number 2 or 3. He's a crazy, amazing guy, just such an interesting thing. Another one of the traditions is the, I think it's called Amen Corner, is what it is, and it describes holes 11, 12, and 13. And if you look at it, weirdly enough, if you watch the Masters now, and I think they've done it for the past like 3 or 4 years, it's usually you watch it on Masters.com, and that's always you can follow groups, but that's always one of the links of videos that you can watch is Amen's Corners 11, 12. And And it all started with a golf writer in 1958, Herbert Warren Wind. He used the term, and it has to do, I think, with Arnold Palmer's first Masters victory. Is that right? And then,
yeah, it was just it's a tricky stretch of holes there, and through the kind of second third of the course, and the name stuck, and that was taking it back to 1958 Sports Illustrated. So
the actual quote says, "On the afternoon before the start of the recent Masters golf tournament, a wonderfully evocative ceremony took place at the farthest reach of the Augusta National Course. Down in Amen Corner, where Ray's Creek intersects with the 13th fairway near the tee, then parallels to the front of the green on the short 12th, and finally swirls around the 11th green." And it has to do, it just has to do with this guy kind of eloquently saying, you know, giving this little Amen's Corner as you want, you know, that's a place where everything intersects, apparently. So,
yeah. So the Masters, it's always played the first week of April. Yeah. So it is the first major championship of the season.
We talked about Sam Snead being the first green jacket winner in 1949. But that's what they give their champion every time now. So you get a green jacket.
Yeah. That's kind of the, whereas, you know, the rest of the tournaments, obviously there's a trophy and stuff. The Masters is a green jacket.
Yep. The first non-American player was from South Africa. Is that right? Am I wrong here? I don't actually have who that was from. Oh, Player. Gary Player. Gary Player won the first from South. He was from South Africa. He's the first non-American player to win the tournament. The second was Seve Ballesteros of Spain.
Yeah, Seve Ballesteros.
Yep, Ballesteros, sorry.
Yep. Or 1980, I'm 80, sorry. Yeah. Got mixed up there. There's a champions dinner that's kind of a well-known thing that a lot of the players look forward to. And it's been hosted by Ben Hogan in 1952. Snead,
I think that's where it started,
Nelson,
right?
Nelson, yep. Palmer, Nicklaus, obviously Gary Player as well. And in 1960, a semi-social contest at the par 3 course has been played on Wednesday, the day before the first round. So there's always videos and stuff coming out on that if people get hole-in-one.
Yes.
And things like that.
Yeah, some other fun stuff about the green jacket in particular is you have to return it. So if you win, you have to return it to the clubhouse 1 year after its victory. I think the last time Phil Mickelson won it, I think he drove it into a... he was wearing it while he drove to like an In-N-Out Burger or something, weirdly enough, just wearing it on there. Although it remains, his personal property is stored with other championship jackets in specifically designated cloak rooms. Only a first time and current reigning champion may remove his jacket from the club grounds. A golfer who wins the event multiple times uses the same green jacket upon his winning his initial one. So, unless it's really refit, Tiger Woods won this year in 2019. That's the same jacket he was wearing basically in 1997. I'm sure it was taken out a little bit. He seemed to grow, so yeah. I'm sure it was tailored a little bit for him. But I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Snead, yeah, obviously that we said Snead started that.
He did.
That was when it was started with his three Masters titles.
Yeah, and Chad touched on the par 3 contest. there have been 94 hole-in-ones in the history of the contest, with the record 9 occurring in 2016. Everybody was on fire, apparently, then. Camilo Villegas became the first player to card 2 hole-in-ones in the same round during 2015's par 3 contest. And then the weirder part of this is no par 3 contest winner has ever won the Masters in the same year.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a curse.
And it's weird to see. So, like, you see Camilo Villegas' name, which he never really did anything. I don't know. I mean, I'd love to just look into his, if he, obviously, he's still probably golfing. But you see Padraig Harrington here. You see So there have been several, and I jumped ahead, but there have been several repeat winners of the par three contest. And you got Padraig Harrington, you got Sandy Lyle, you got Sam Snead, Tom Watson. And Watson won it 2 years in a row. And I don't actually have the years he won that, but it's interesting to see Padraig Harrington and Camila Vijay, like, they were pretty popular. I mean, they were.
Yeah, that's not just a celebrity thing. There's actually real players.
The only one that's kind of still hanging around, and I know he won, was, who's the Spanish guy? Who's the, from Spain, I want to say.
John Rahm?
No, he's new. He's new. The older guy, like Tiger Woods level. Oh, it's going to come to me. Who is it? The weird part is he won a major and he spit in the cup. He like spits in the, sometimes he'll like literally spit in the cup. I can't remember his name.
Interesting.
Oh, I'm going to have to remember it. He's won one major champion. He was supposed to be like the next Tiger Woods, but he was international.
Okay.
So
I'll let you think about that. I'll go into the little bit more details about the Champions Dinner. Which is what it says it is. It's held on the Tuesday night before the tournament kicks off, you know, obviously on Thursday. And it's officially known as the Masters Club. And it's basically the champions, the previous champions, are all invited if they want to come. And then sometimes Augusta National Golf Club will have honorary members, come and join the dinner, usually like the chairman of the club.
Sergio Garcia.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Hey, but I mean, those names, Harrington and Vijayas, and I mean, like, Sergio won, but that was like a buy. I mean, that was an era
when
Tiger was completely dominant, too. Yeah. So
a lot of us just don't necessarily watch on, like, Wednesday. It's kind of the middle of the week.
And no.
Thursday, we kind of start paying attention, and Friday, we
at least watch to see what's starting, yeah, right?
So that's, I guess, why maybe a lot of people don't know about the par three tournament.
I love. It's one of the fun. If you get a chance, watch some of that. Because usually what's neat is they have the old champions there, too. And I think, like this year, they had Jack Nicholson, or Nicholas, his grandson, one of them hit a hole in one or something grandson, like that. Yeah,
a caddy in form.
Yeah, it's just such a fun, and I think this goes back to what Jones kind of wanted is a little kind of skill mixed in with everything. I mean, you know, he wanted to see the best golfers in the world or at the time do some other fun stuff than just golf.
Yeah, so I'll go into a little bit more about Nicholas. Obviously, he won six times. And in 1986, when he won at age 46 and some change, he was the oldest winner of the Masters. He's also the record holder for the most top 10 finishes with 22, the most cuts made with 37. 37 cuts made at the Masters. So that's just how long Nicholas played.
Jeez, and he was just consistently great. I mean, consistently
and
great.
He still plays now. He doesn't play all the tournaments on the senior tour, but he still plays a lot. Youngest winner was obviously Woods.
Tiger Woods.
He was 21 years old. And he won, I mean, most people that pay attention to golf, even on a basic level, know that he just dominated in 97 when he won. He won by 12 strokes.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is a massive margin of victory for any tournament, let alone, like, the number one tournament in the world. For anybody. Anybody who knows anything about golf knows that the Masters is probably... it's right up there with the Open Championship as far as importance of winning.
Yes.
Then going back to the youngest player to ever compete at the Masters was a guy named Guang Tin Lang in 2013. He was 14 years old.
Jeez.
About 14 and a half.
That's
and he actually made the cut for that tournament.
That's crazy.
So that's amazing.
At 14. Like, that's... Oh, my goodness.
Gary Player holds the record for most appearances with 52.
Wow.
He also holds the record for the most consecutive cuts made, which was 23.
Oh, 23 okay.
Straight cuts
made. In a row is what you're saying. 23 okay.
23 in a row.
Wow. That's crazy.
Course record was 63, and that's shot by Nick Price and Greg Norman. So that's a pretty amazing 63 is a low score.
In the tournament. I mean, that's in a tournament, too. That's not bad at all.
The highest winning score was 289, which is one over par.
Oh.
And that's happened three times by Sam Snead in 54, a guy named Jack Burke Jr. in 56, and Zach Johnson in 2007.
And then here's a name you don't hear much anymore. Anthony Kim holds the record for most birdies in a round with 11 in 2009 during his second round.
Wow.
Didn't he get hurt? I mean, what happened to Anthony Kim? He was like... Yeah, he was like a prodigy golfer as well.
He was a big deal there for a while.
There have been only four double eagles carded in the history of the Masters. The latest was, I actually saw this one, was a contender in the fourth round in 2012. Louis Oosthuizen did it downhill with a 4-iron from the fairway and got it on a par 5. I totally remember saying that, too, and he was shocked. It was awesome to see. Yeah. Of course, Sarazen's double eagle that he made, you know, the shot heard around the world, that's in there as well.
So you want to – kind of the last big thing that we're going to cover is tickets for the Masters.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Before we jump into tickets, one of the cool little things that people don't realize as well, and like kind of behind it all, is in the championship dinner or in that same thing, the awards you get. So besides the green jacket, you get a gold medal, I believe it is. So in addition, yeah, the winners determined to receive a gold medal. They have their names engraved on the actual Silver Masters trophy introduced in 1961, which depicts the clubhouse. That trophy remains at Augusta. And I believe the runner-up gets a silver medal as well. But you get some cool stuff if you do like feats on the golf course. If you actually like the double eagles we were talking about. So you get the player who has the daily lowest scores receives a crystal vase, while players who score a hole in one or a double eagle win a large crystal bowl. For each eagle a player makes, he receives a pair of crystal goblets. So it's just kind of like neat in the sense of like true traditional, like this is what you'd win in the 30s too. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And who knows if they still had it then, but it wasn't like you're not winning cash prizes here. You're winning this like something that you could tell your friends about if they came to your, oh, what'd you do there? I got an eagle in the Masters. Like they gave me these goblets. Like that would be awesome. I mean, that'd be, even if you didn't win the Masters, number one playing in it itself, but that would just be really cool to have this glassware, so to speak. And it's so country club-like to win glassware, you know? Like, oh, you won a vase. Perfect. This is great.
But it came from the Masters.
So I just love it. Pretty cool. Yeah, I think that's so fantastic. The last little thing is you get a... In 1952, the Masters began presenting an award known as the Silver Cup to the lowest-scoring amateur to make the cut. And in 1954, they began presenting an amateur silver medal to the lowest amateur runner-up. So you see that they have this... I think one of the reasons the Masters have stayed around is you get this great pomp and circumstance. You know, like you get... Like, it is the first thing, and Bobby Jones created it to be special. You know, it's the reason it doesn't change. The reason, you know, because there's this history behind it and before it. And it wasn't the first. I mean, they're playing U.S. Opens, they're playing the Opens, they're playing PGA Championships before the Masters, you know, in terms of timeline. But it really brought everything. If you look at this, you really brought everything to a new level. I mean,
and it just made it special. I mean,
from a really early
point in time. And he did a lot of different stuff, you know, stretching out to 4 days, making the events and the extra contests. And that kind of stuff made it more fun and it made it different.
Yeah.
And it stayed that way. And part of the reason is it's in April and it's in the South, which kind of has its own culture.
It's warm in spring.
It's
nice. Yeah.
It's kind of the first really exciting tournament of the year.
It doesn't move. You know, it's always at Augusta. Augusta's a very, very, very private country club. Like, you know, they barely started letting women in. I think Condoleezza Rice is one of the only ones that's like, I mean, I think there's a few in there now, but it was, I mean,
it was really recent. They didn't even allow children in, under 16 or under 17 until 2008.
Yeah, I mean, so you there, like I said, there is this wonderful throwback to like the Masters is hard. You know, like there isn't multiple winners in the sense that, like the multiple winners are the greatest players the game have seen. You know,
it is difficult.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're also playing the same course.
Oh,
the
players agree.
Can go and practice the same course.
Absolutely.
Obviously, they can manipulate the conditions and make it a little bit different, but it's still the same course every year.
And what's neat, but that's what I mean. I think it's, as opposed to you see like the U.S. Open where they're trying to make it incredibly hard for the players and almost humble them, you know what I mean? Like, or even the Open where you see all this wind and you see all the elements kind of bring you back to the game of golf. This is golf in a very like, I don't want to say fluffed up, but very pure, very manicured, very pomp. Pomp is not the right word, but very like well taken care of golf, right? Like even though this is the first major, it's the highest prestige. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's really neat about it all.
Yeah, because it has this sense of exclusivity to it.
Exactly,
it stays the same place. It's very traditional, and it has all of these very unique things to just this tournament.
And winning this tournament is, and I would say besides the Open, winning this tournament, you're in, and I think we said this in the beginning, you are a legend. You know, like true legends and professionals and champions won this tournament. I mean,
Masters champions are remembered.
Yeah, 100%. So Chad kind of touched on it before I rudely interrupted him, but tickets to the Masters, and I kind of added this into our timeline just because I think it's so much fun. If you don't know about tickets to the Masters, you can actually go sign up at like masters.com and you can kind of tally the days you want and you get put into a raffle and you have to hope to get the days. And there's a lot of times that you can kind of put in, you usually don't get one ticket for one person. You usually try and get as many tickets as you can because they are so darn hard to come by.
You know, even the practice rounds, you have to put in for basically a year in advance to get a chance, and you still might not get them.
No,
You know, basically your only chance of getting in is if you're a press person.
Exactly.
If you have, there's a lot of new, like, sports blogs and news outlets and things like that that can get in, but just for an average, you know, citizen, it's difficult. Very difficult. The tickets aren't necessarily expensive. They're just very difficult
to buy. No, and the neat thing about the Masters, if you don't know this too, is they all their prices are like based in like 1935 land. So they legit have like all their food prices are like $1 or $2. Like it's nothing. It's nothing to eat there. Their retail is very expensive, like getting shirts and everything because that's what they bank on. But all their food there, it's not Pomona. What's it? Pimentone or pimento sandwiches and things like that. Literally, they cost nothing. They're there, and there's like a little breakfast sandwich as well. So it is. It's interesting that it's so difficult to get these tickets.
And there are like perennial ticket holders that sometimes will sell their tickets on, you know, Ticketmaster and StubHub and places like that. But the prices go through the roof.
You literally get, because I actually did it, I've done it a few years in a row, and I think the one time I got raffled off a practice round, because you can go to the practice rounds, and then you get raffled off into the main tournament as well. And you usually, and I don't want to say usually, but I've seen people who've won practice round tickets as opposed to the other ones. And regardless, I think if you love golf, and you sign up, and unless you're an amazing golfer and you're able to actually physically play or get an invite from one of the corporate sponsors or something like that, find a way to go to the Masters. I've heard nothing but, you know, you'll have an amazing time. I mean, a practice round to me would be legit because then you're at least just, you know, you're walking with whomever.
You're still getting to walk the course, and still can find the players.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And it's a little less stress. You get to watch them if you've ever seen a practice round at all. I was lucky enough to be a chef at Chambers Bay when they were hosting the U.S. Amateur, but I got to see it was in Chehalem or something like that, I think it was called, or Salishan or something of that nature, but it was the practice round for the senior tour, and it was their senior championship, and it was just cool to see because they hit multiple balls, they're really scoping the course out. It's just a neat little thing. But so, yeah, if you like tickets and you want to, or if you like the Masters and you want to see it in live and in living color, you got to sign up for those passes unless you know somebody. And I have no idea what the secondary market is for these. I can only imagine it's outrageously expensive. Yeah. But yeah, that's the Masters. That's the Masters tournament. Started by Bobby Jones and a wonderful Wall Street financy guy. And now we have it what it is. We have one of the greatest, if not the greatest golf tournament to start the season, for sure.
Exactly. So tune in next week. We're going to have the PGA Championship. And then obviously following that, we're going to go in chronological order and do the U.S. Open. And then hopefully be doing the Open Championship.
Right, when the Open Championship happens. Yeah. So thanks, everybody. We appreciate you. This is like our second season. We've had so much fun. The research has been interesting, and it's been really awesome kind of sitting here with Chad and having fun with it. And we're going to try and get a little bit more regular or consistent with recording. But we live in Oregon, and it's beautiful outside, and we like playing golf as well.
Yeah, and we don't have a ton of spare time, but when we do, we like to play
golf. So if there's, we appreciate your patience. We love getting emails and actually seeing where everybody's listening from. But thanks again, everybody, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
And if you need to contact us or you want to contact us, give us any suggestions or comments. It's golflegendspod@gmail.com.
Absolutely. All one word on that, golflegendspod. But we'd love to hear questions, comments. If you got anything we should add or subtract or anything like that, we'd love to know.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.
See you later.
If you enjoyed our show, please rate us on Apple iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram @GolfLegendPod. If you have ideas on who we should cover or just want to drop us a line, please do @GolfLegendsPod@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back on the links in a week.